item number three.
Wow. Dude. What is going on? You don't feel a tingling in your forearm or something. It just, I mean, you're not, you don't smell like fudge. I'm trying to think of all the things that they say are signs that, you know.
No, I mean, I'm good. Let's just chalk it up to being Tuesday and let's try that whole thing over.
It was a quick jaunt to the office and back. Maybe too much air up in there or something. I don't know.
The most exercise I've gotten in weeks. Ahem. Me. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. This is the Fan Upstate. How do y'all welcome in? Rob Brown, the great Melonzo with you this morning. The four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment you'll find anywhere rolls on. We have talked so far this morning. The AP College Football Top 25 has been released. Georgia sits alone atop the poll. More first place votes than Ohio State by 31. The Buckeyes did get 15 of them. They check in second place. Oregon steps in at number three. Texas at number four. Alabama number five. This is one of those fun spots that as a radio guy, you go, any surprises, any shocks, any disappointment? Who's too high and who's too low in the AP Top 25? While we all know that it doesn't matter because there's a dozen games between here and the final poll being released roughly 17 weeks from Saturday. So it's a discussion that has a lot of football left ahead of us, but also we've still got 11 days, 3 hours, 57 minutes, and 32 seconds until toe meets leather.
Why is Oregon at 3?
Because of a number of reasons, not the least of which is going to be that the Ducks are good this year. The Ducks are good. Dan Lanning is, I think, a dude... I've been done trying to tell y'all. Dan Lanning is a dude. And Dan Lanning, here's how much of a dude Dan Lanning is. Lonzo, if Ryan Day loses to Michigan this year, what happens?
What should have happened probably a year ago.
And that is?
He fired.
You're fired. Dan Lanning... There it is. As shocking and frankly silly as it might be, there is a belief, and I really thought lovingly and respectfully that Lonzo was a little aggressive on the Ryan Day gets canned if he loses to Michigan again takes. I thought that was a little not. I just thought it was a little not. Yet, the more I have perused various college football discussion boards across the World Wide Web, the more I have realized Lonzo is not only not alone in that way of thinking amongst the horse chestnut fans, but the horse chestnut fans, there's a large population of them who have actually thought it's good to say publicly that if Ryan Day can't get it done against the Michigan Wolverines this year, that they would be willing, may demand that the horse chestnuts move on past Ryan Day. That being said, if Ryan Day does indeed end up losing his job because for no reason at all, you should beat Michigan this year, for no reason at all, drops, what did they be, 4 straight to the Buckeye or to the Wolverines?
I don't know. I'm blocking it from memory.
That's fair. If Ryan Day drops what I believe would be his 4th consecutive game to the Michigan Wolverines and the Ohio State University was to move on from Ryan Day, Dan Lanning's the guy I think replaces him.
Well, I was, you know, so one of the biggest early matchups, I guess, in college football will be October 12th then. if Oregon is legitimately at three, because it will be number two Ohio State versus number three Oregon.
I think Oregon is absolutely a justified number three. Now, Oregon's not without its fair share of question marks. Dylan Gabriel coming in to be the 2024 starter. On one hand, got to replace captain checkdown Bo Nix. On the other hand, most people think Dylan Gabriel is going to be better than Bo Nix. And I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I don't think so. And this is part of the reason I am very high on the Oregon Ducks. Part of the reason why is I'm not super impressed with Bo Nix at Oregon. I think Bo Nix, who was a fine quarterback, okay, was a fine quarterback. I don't think he's anything spectacular. I think Bo Nix was coached around by Dan Lanning. I think the Oregon Ducks, who you will remember lost two games last year. Who were those two games to? The Washington Huskies and then the Washington Huskies. A team that, again, you will also recall, participated in the 2023 College Football National Championship game last year, where they were defeated by Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. I think Dan Lanning coached around Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix was good. This isn't me saying Bo Nix wasn't a good college football quarterback. He was a good college football quarterback. I just don't think he was a great. In fact, I think if you flipped, and I know I'm not going out on a big limb here, if you flipped Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. last year, I think you would have also flipped the results of Washington and Oregon last year.
Who has a harder time this year, the teams that are entering, that are joining the Big Ten or the teams that are joining the SEC?
The teams that are joining the SEC.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because Georgia's there. Because I might be the only one, I don't think Alabama's taking a step back at all. In fact, if anything, I think Alabama might take a step forward because I very much believe that Kalen DeBoer is a not good, great football coach.
We'll see. I don't believe it till I see it. I believe there's has to be a drop off. There has to be.
Why does there have to be?
That was the greatest college football coach of all time just left.
I don't disagree. I also think it was the greatest college football coach of all time who was at a point where the game had begun, and I'm not talking about the game between the sticks. I'm talking about the game off of it. I think he got to a point where the game had changed so much that, frankly, he just wasn't the same cat anymore. Still exceptional. Still Nick Saban. But I think it had gotten to the point where the frustrations of what college football was becoming off the field maybe started to impact Saban on it just a little bit. Though that is arguable because whether or not they deserve to be, Alabama was in the playoffs last year.
All right, so my next thought is the Nick Saban coaching tree. How successful have they been? You got Kirby Smart, successful.
Pretty good.
Mark D'Antonio.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin.
Steve Sarkisian.
Steve Sarkisian, who's got a team that's in the top three.
But Jimbo Fisher, I mean, he
won a national championship.
Won a national championship.
Granted, only because he had Jameis Winston, and if he didn't, he would have been nothing at Florida State, just like he was nothing at Texas A&M, like I said he would be. You're welcome, Aggies. Should have listened to me, but the number one motif of a cult is that they don't listen to anyone from outside the cult.
All right, I'm trying to figure out if it balances out. Mario Cristobal.
Successful, I would argue.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see what he does at Miami this year.
Dan Lanning.
Very successful. I think if Ryan Day loses, Dan Lanning comes to Ohio State.
Billy Napier.
Not successful at all. Well, that's not true. Successful at a lower level, but has not been successful at UF.
Mike Loxley. Maryland.
Hey, I can't say a lot of good about Maryland.
Okay, Brent Key.
I love Brent Key. I loved it. This dude's a dude. Brent Key's the guy. We talked to him not this past year. Colin Diesel talked to him this past year. Last year at ACC Media Days, because he came for his interviews while we were on in the old time slide. Brent Key is a... I got no love for Georgia Tech other than they're like the fun little brother in the ACC, you know? You always beat up on him, but you still love him kind of way. I love Georgia Tech in that way. Brent Key had me ready to run through a damn wall for him a year and a half ago. Because he's just, you'd love him too, Zoe. He's just an offensive lineman who's now a head coach.
All right, I'm just going to pick some random ones here. Butch Jones.
Successful enough. Because it's Saban.
It's been a lot of guys. All right, Will Muschamp.
No.
Brian Daboll.
All right, coaching the Giants right now. And that's the end of that sentence. He's coaching the Giants right now.
Josh McDaniels.
As a coordinator.
Okay, Pat Shurmur.
I couldn't tell you. What's Pat Shurmur's career record? I don't know off the top of my head.
It was not good. Adam Gase.
No.
So here's the thing, Freddie Kitchens.
So, Freddie Kitchens is another one of those guys like, coordinator? Okay. Coach? Nah.
So what I'm saying is, I don't know that it's even, but it seems like there are more bad coaches than there were good coaches from the tree.
I'd say there's more average coaches.
Well, okay. All right. But average won't work in Alabama. That's what I'm saying. So this guy...
I don't disagree, but literally last year, this man coached a Pac-12 team to a national championship game. They got blown out, but they also had to beat an SEC team to get there.
Okay. Explain to me what the Pac-12 is, because I don't know what that is.
Let me tell you youngsters about when I was growing up watching college football. Back in my day watching college football, back when if you wanted to watch a game, you had to walk a mile in the snow uphill both ways. The TV was 5 inches wide and it was black and white.
Okay, Grandpa, you're saying there was a time when football was regional?
Let me tell you about a thing called the Pac-12.
So all like the West Coast teams played together against
only
each other?
And only against other teams in the West Coast. Y'all now got these fancy aeroplanes.
So you're doing...
We used to have to take a train to practice.
So you're doing...
Why am I turning into Jerry Seinfeld for no reason?
Yeah, but it more
What's
sounds
the
like,
deal with airline food?
It more sounds like Dickie V trying to do Jerry Seinfeld. So, I mean, which is... It's just weird, a weird visual.
The Dapper Dandy. Texas said, I know we're a few weeks away, but can we stop preseason ranking college football teams? I'm already foreshadowing the stupid overrating and underrating. Let's keep it a buck. You know this already. I'm not breaking any new ground here, but I'll address it anyway. There is one reason and one reason alone that we do preseason records or rankings, dudes.
There's a Bonnie Raitt song about it. Let's give them something to talk about.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how I was going to work it into a segment phrase there, you know? Because the college football powers that be look at all of us out here in Sportslandia and say, let's give them something to talk about. A little something to figure out. Let's give them something to talk about. How about rankings, rankings, rankings? That's it. That's it. Because it gives us something to talk about, A, and B, because when week zero rolls around, which sounds more interesting?
Just want to say I am the point guard of this show.
Love. Gotta love Bonnie Raitt, dude. I saw her in concert with James Taylor last year. Mwah.
Dishing it off so Rob can get all the glory.
You're like the Steph Curry of this show.
He gets to shoot. Well, I guess I do hit a three every once in a while.
I
don't have my hero songs queued up.
Yeah, I actually forgot to save the Steph sounder.
I still have it, but I'm not playing
Stephen Curry.
You talking about the one that you stole from me?
Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry.
I'm going to start calling you Cole Bryson now.
Stephen Curry. My dog. Anyway, what sounds... Stephen Curry. I was ready to go for it.
I have like 32 seconds of it. I could not take 32 seconds
of
that.
He earned it.
Okay, all right.
He earned it. That's like a point. That's like a second per point that he averaged in the last two games.
If you say so. But... I agree with the texter. the preseason polls are useless, but they're a guideline to get people who don't follow football or the casuals, as Rob says.
The casuals.
Who are getting ready to get back into it because maybe they have a little something that they do on the side, you know, little bets or something. Or they just like to get together with their friends and tailgate. They want to at least act like they have some knowledge about what's going on. And while these things are usually, in some ways, very inaccurate, near the top, they're usually pretty good.
Let me set the layup for you. Here's why we have preseason rankings in a nutshell. Because what sounds better coming up this Saturday at noon from Dublin, Ireland? It's week zero college football as the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets try to upset the number 10 ranked Florida State Seminoles. Or coming up this Saturday, live in Dublin, Ireland at noon, it's week zero, game one kickoff, as the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets take on the Florida State Seminoles. Which one sounds better? When you throw the number 10 ranked Florida State Seminoles in there, now all of the sudden, there's stakes involved. Do they matter all that much? I mean, they do, in that Florida State, by way of starting number 10, has a leg up on a team that's starting, say, number 18. It's a lot easier to maybe drop a game along the line and still be in those 12 spots than it is if you're starting at 18 or 20 or, hell, 14 like Clemson is. So it makes it where there's stakes. I attended communications school, okay? And one of the things, there's two things that always stuck with me. Two lessons that I got out of college that, while I'm not always good at it, because it is hard to be good at these things, there's two things that I got. The first thing is prime your audience. And the second thing is make sure there are stakes to your story. Prime your audience means saying something as a theme over and over to the point where, when you stop saying it, your audience still thinks it, right? When you stop saying that thing, they still think it. Number two.
All right, comrade. That sounds like conditioning.
No, it absolutely is. Welcome to the world of communications, Lonzo. Everything you've had, TV shows, advertisements, movies, music, they are all designed to get you into a pattern because we are pattern-seeking apes. That's what we are. The second thing.
Playing dumb is my pattern.
100%. You establish a character that is priming your audience so that you, years down the road, don't have to come on and go, "Hi, I are Lonzo. Lonzo, our game in Pawn of Life." You just be Lonzo, and the audience is used to your character. They know you. The second thing is you introduce and you establish and you exaggerate the stakes. The greatest movies you've ever watched all have very high stakes. Well, by putting a preseason ranking next to a team, now there are stakes involved. If FSU wants to remain a top 10 team, now this Georgia Tech game has a ton of weight to it. It feels like there's stakes involved. That's why we have preseason rankings. Texture said preseason rankings are like the pirate code, more like guidelines. It's very fair. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Screaming through hour number three of the Rob Brown radio program right here on the Fan Upstate. I mean, sure. Not incorrect.
You said you were screaming through.
Yeah. No, that's why I said fair. It's very fair. Yesterday, got the opportunity to talk to John Blau of the Post and Courier. He covers the Clemson Tigers. He joins us every Monday at 8:40. If you're a fan of Los Tigres, you're going to want to be here every single Monday for 8:40 as we talk to John Blau. And that's why he didn't talk to Lonzo on the phone right there. He knows. He's heard it.
Good.
Anyway, we asked him about the lawsuit update. Florida State and the ACC are scheduled for mediation in the court case that FSU lobbied against the ACC down in Leon County, Florida, where Tallahassee is located. We asked John for an update on that. How is that going to impact Clemson? And he said effectively what I expected him to say, which is yeah, Clemson's going to watch this closely, right? They're going to watch this closely to see if the judge in South Carolina was to follow suit. But there's also the second issue, which is that the judge overseeing the Clemson lawsuit against the NCAA that was filed in Pickens County, South Carolina, said that ESPN, scratch that, the ACC, did not include a venue clause within their contract with Clemson. And he therefore believes that the lawsuit Clemson filed against the ACC in South Carolina should proceed in South Carolina. John Blau basically said a venue clause says basically that the ACC does a lot of business in South Carolina. Of course, that business is ACC football at Clemson, right? They host a lot of games here every single year. A lot of the money gets funneled from Clemson back to the ACC because of the games that take place here every single year. And so by being willing to do business in South Carolina, as the ACC is and does, that if they wanted all of the legal issues they might face regarding their business in South Carolina to be handled in North Carolina, which is what the ACC's lawsuit against Clemson and Florida State alleges, that those lawsuits should be taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the HQ of the ACC, not in courts that are effectively next door to the schools in question. That the ACC should have included in the contracts with the schools a clause that the schools would have had to have agreed to, that says if there are any legal disputes regarding your ACC involvement, that you will agree that those legal disputes are to be settled in Charlotte, North Carolina, not, well, anywhere else, frankly. Nowhere that might be more friendly to you. But the judge in Pickens County said that's not what happened. The ACC would have had the right to establish a venue clause that said, hey, Clemson, hey, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, who else, whoever else, should you wish to bring any sort of legal issue up to or against us, you are obligated to do it in North Carolina, where the Atlantic Coast Conference headquarters are located. They didn't do that. Had Clemson, had Florida State signed a contract with the ACC that did say that, then these court cases in Leon County and Pickens County never would have happened. They would have taken place in Charlotte, North Carolina, as the ACC is currently arguing that they should. But the judges in both Tallahassee and Pickens County both said, no, you are doing business with a school located in Leon County in the state of Florida, with a school located in Pickens County in the state of South Carolina. And those two entities have every right to have these court cases held in their state as you have to hold it in yours. They have every right that you do regarding giving themselves the opportunity to win. The court wouldn't say giving themselves the opportunity to win, but that's basically what this argument is about, right? Clemson and Florida State both want their courts to host this lawsuit because they will basically have a home field advantage. The ACC wants to host this lawsuit in Mecklenburg County so that they have a home field advantage. A business lawyer, or a business judge, I should say, a business court in North Carolina, if one of them is going to be impartial or not impartial, is going to be biased one way or the other, a court in North Carolina is likely going to be more kind to a major business entity located in North Carolina than it is to a business entity outside of North Carolina that has filed a suit that would be damaging to the entity in North Carolina. Just like a court in Pickens County, South Carolina, is more likely to be beneficial to an entity in Pickens County, South Carolina, than it is to a business entity in Charlotte, North Carolina. Just like a business entity in Tallahassee and Leon County would probably find more favor with a business court in Leon County than they would with a business court in Mecklenburg. So the two judges basically, well, the judge in South Carolina has basically said, yeah, Clemson has every much as a right to host this lawsuit as the ACC does, which means that lawsuit is likely going to go forward. But they are also going to likely watch what is happening down in Tallahassee. Remember, if a school intends to exit the ACC after this sporting season, it must declare so by Thursday. FSU and the ACC are slated to begin mediation and negotiate in good faith to find a settlement in the middle this week, yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Now, is that enough time for them to reach an agreement before Thursday's deadline? Legit, probably not, because we are talking about a settlement that will likely be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. If Florida State finds a way, does that mean that Clemson can figure out how to get a paper signed by Thursday? I doubt that as well. But the longer Clemson and Florida State stay in the ACC, their argument, the more difficult it will be for them to remain relevant. We'll talk more about this as it develops. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. So you all remember in the run-up to his selection by the Tennessee Titans, quarterback Will Levis from the University of Kentucky. There was a story that went round that Will Levis liked to take a spoonful of mayonnaise and stir it into his coffee. And that story really took off. Now, Levis, if I recall correctly, did say after the draft that it was kind of a bit of a joke, started to get kind of momentum, and he decided he was just going to have fun and tell everybody that it was true, despite the fact that it is not, which is exactly what I expect someone who stirs mayo into their coffee to say. They go, oh, that is, okay, actually, now that I think about it, it is a little weird. Maybe I should pretend that that's not true, because I'd rather be called a liar than be called a guy who stirs mayo into his coffee. But he leaned into it. It was fun. It was a good little run-up. We all enjoyed it there for a brief few minutes. Well, Lonzo found a post from a X account under the name Justin M. NFL, who is an NFL draft reporter for the Draft Network and covers the Tennessee Titans for a couple of different broadcasting outlets. My man's got 17,000 followers across Twitter. So whether it's a parody account or not, I don't know. What I do know, and Lonzo found it just mere seconds before we came back on the air, is that this individual has posted a tweet. The tweet reads, Titans quarterback Will Levis and Hellman's mayonnaise released a cologne crying emoji. Now, attached to that is what appears to be a commercial for Hellman's mayonnaise cologne endorsed by Titans quarterback Will Levis. Lonzo and I are about to do something that is very frowned upon in radio, but neither of us cares at all. We are going to run the audio from this commercial. Now, to give you kind of a setup, because I just watched it without the audio. It begins with Will Levis in a white dress shirt that is unbuttoned all the way down. His wonderful six-pack showing all the way through the commercial. And it begins with this very dramatic slow motion Joe Hendry turn. And then it progresses to him drinking mayo out of a mayo jar. And then it progresses to him lounge six-pack out on a lawn chair eating a sandwich slathered in mayo, yada, yada, yada. So that's the image I want you to see in your head as we listen to this. But we're going to play this audio without screening it at all, hoping, assuming that it's a parody commercial, but really hoping it's not.
By the way, if you
what a performance.
If you look underneath, you will see that this was originally tweeted by Hellman's. So this is a commercial.
Parfum de mayonnaise.
You got to see the video, people. You really do. It just it caused me to react in a way.
Aroused?
No. Reacted. I said something. I usually watch things and don't say anything, but as bewilderment, I think, was the word that I used.
So let's go back to this. Last year, because of the mayo and coffee thing,
which,
Will Levis.
Which Diesel actually tried, by the way.
Yeah, I recall that. Will Levis put up a video on his Twitter account leading up to the draft. It was from the draft combine, I believe, where he actually talked about it, and he actually did put a squeeze of the Hellman's mayo into his coffee, stir it up and drink it in front of reporters. Well, shortly after that, Will Levis signed a lifetime sponsorship with Hellman's Real Mayonnaise.
Way to go, dude. Lifetime. That's
get that bag, son.
That is awesome.
Get that
really
bag
is.
And or a lifetime supply of Hellman's mayo.
That is using marketing power. Right,
you a mayo
there.
Guy?
We've had these discussions. I do not worship.
I know, but like we refresh the audience. It's your opportunity to introduce yourself.
I'm waiting for you to introduce your cult. So I like mayonnaise. I don't go, you know what? I got to buy me some daggum mayonnaise. No, if we have it, if it comes on, love it on a BLT. I think you got to have it on a BLT for it to be effective. But I'm not it's not my condiment of choice.
Smell like greatness. I am
a
mayo
guy. I want some of that perfume if it actually exists, the cologne. So
Miss Lisa's going to love it. You're going to drive her up the walls, bud. She's never going to be so attracted to you as when you smell like Will Levis and Hellman's mayo.
I was just going to buy it and spray it in the bathroom, actually. I mean, you know.
No. You save that for the romance nights with Miss Lisa. She's going to go bananas over the great one.
Or maybe I'll do a drive-by. I'll run into the Rise Guys studio while they're on air and just spray them all with it.
I don't know why you're making this out to be a joke, Lonzo. This man just released number 8 Parfum de Mayonnaise. This man is trying to help out the love lives of men across America, and you're out here making jokes like it's some kind of gag. This could be a game changer. If you are at home and you've been thinking to yourself, man, me and the wife, we're in a bit of cold streak right now. We're missing out on the Bow Chicka Bow Wow time. Adult recreational activities have been at a minimum lately, and you're looking for the fix right now? Will Levis just gave it to you, boys.
If you're driving out 276 right now, roll down your window at a certain point and do that and think, man, if that was a cologne.
Ladies,
he doesn't get it, but if you've been on 276, you know what's there.
Tell me right now, ladies of the Rob Brown Show Armada, that if your fella was to say, hey babe, it's date night tonight, and you get ready and you put on that great little black dress and those heels that you only break out for the special date nights, and he comes out of that room in that look you like, you know, the one. Like the nice dress pants. He's got that dress shirt with the sleeves rolled up to show a little forearm, because that's what the ladies love, right? And he comes out, and you walk over, and he goes, you ready, babe? And he picks up the keys, and as he opens the door for you, you just get just a subtle trace of Will Levis number 8 parfum de mayonnaise. Tell me you're not going to go, babe, cancel dinner reservations. The only reservations you need to worry about are in the bedroom right now.
All right, courtesy of foodandwine.com, Hellman's has partnered with Tennessee Titans quarterback Will Levis to release Will Levis number 8, a fragrance based on the smell of Hellman's signature product. The just released scent combines hints of tart lemon, coffee, musk, vanilla, and something the company is calling mayonnaise accord.
I'm telling you right now, in about when this comes out, when this mayo hits the shelves, sorry, when this cologne hits the shelves, I need to know what date it is, because I'm making a prediction, a prognostication right now. When this cologne hits the shelves, 9 months later, there is going to be a baby boom across the United States of America. I've heard politicians complaining about a low birth rate. Will Levis just solved that problem with three sprays of Will Levis number 8 parfum de mayonnaise. It's going to be spectacular. There's only one problem with it. There's only one issue with it.
Available online starting August 13th.
August 13th.
That is today.
That is today. So let's go August 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. May 13th, 2025, there's going to be a baby boom across this country. And those babies are going to be named Helma. They're going to be named Mayo. There's going to be a baby boom across America because the ladies are about to just be overwhelmed by us. Fellas, if you have been worried about a lackluster love life, Will Levis has just solved the problem.
By the way, went to the site. You can order it now. It is $8 a bottle.
I might be breaking this out for wedding night.
It's a 30 milliliter bottle, so that's pretty big. I think
it's pretty standard cologne bottle size. I'm not a cologne guy. I used to be a big cologne guy. I used to have a collection of colognes. Used to be a big cologne guy. Not so much anymore. The fiance is one of these gals that like has a hyper smell where if the smell's overwhelming, I can't light candles in the house unless she's out of town.
Yeah, me too. I completely get it. Yeah. That's the reason why I don't do it. And bears. I've heard that bears are attracted to cologne. So yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't live where I got a big bear issue that I can't smell nice. Just a lady friend who's not appreciative. And that's fine. I get it. Like, that's a reaction. I'm just saying, she might. It might. Wedding night, bells will be ringing, and she might meet me at the end of the aisle and go,
wow.
Dude, you know, we've been looking for what we want to get Cole and Diesel for Christmas. How about a bottle of that for each of them?
There is. And again, there's only one issue with Will Levis number 8 parfum de mayonnaise. And that issue is, Will, you should have picked Duke's. If this was a Duke's cologne.
Wow. It took him long enough. That's why I almost didn't bring it up because of that. Because when you're a part of a cult, you have to proselytize eventually. You got to work it in there.
Wait. I trust the ladies of the Rob Brown Show Armada, all right? The lady members of the Armada. They are all P1s.
I won't smell like Hellman's. I won't smell like daggum Dukes.
And Tiger Pal Rachel just wrote the show and said, Rob, I'd feel that way if it was Dukes, not Hellman's.
Yeah.
And that's commendable because while I appreciate and respect Hellman's, and if there's no Dukes, Hellman's is a fine second option. Second option.
I'm going to get Leah Remini on the phone so she can help you guys get out of this.
There's no cult. Yeah, sometimes you just have to recognize that objectively, thing A is better than thing B.
Sometimes,
objectively.
Sometimes. Get my mayonnaise.
Sometimes thing A is objectively better than thing. Rolex is objectively better than Timex. And that's not a shot at Timex. That's just a compliment to Rolex.
We're having a good time. You had to ruin it with your cult talk.
Not ruined.
Ruined with cult talk.
Not ruined. What I'm saying is,
you know, one thing Duke's doesn't have that Hellman's does? Cologne.
Well, as Keegan just brought up, Duke's people, if you're listening, I want you to know that I am ready today, right now. I got the pen right here. I am ready to sign the contract to become not just the voice of Duke's Mayo in the upstate of South Carolina, not just the voice of Duke's Mayo across these, don't ruin my promo, across these great United States. I am ready to be the official endorser of Duke's Mayo cologne. And I think I can pull you just as many customers as Will Levis can. All right, Dukes, you ready to go to the moon? You ready to go to the top? Me, you, the Parfum de Dukes. With Rob Brown as your face, we're going to the moon, baby. We're going to the moon. After Lonzo does this sports flash.
Hi, baby. Baby, you smell just like Dukes.
Hater.
The college football AP Top 25 was released yesterday with very few surprises. At the top, the Georgia Bulldogs are number one, collecting 46 first-place votes, outpacing number two Ohio State with 15, and third-place Oregon with one. Texas and Alabama round out the top five, followed by Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and FSU. Clemson was ranked 14th, one spot behind LSU, and one ahead of Tennessee. The Atlanta Braves knocked off the San Francisco Giants 1-0 in a 10-inning contest last night. Chris Sale worked 7 innings, giving up just 3 hits and striking out a dozen. The Braves are now a full game up on the Mets for second in the East and 7 back of Philly. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, all Wire to Wire.